We're going to read our scripture in just a couple moments, but before we do, I want to kind of set things up a little bit. So I'm going to start this morning with a question. Who here can name me a judge from the book of Judges? Deborah! And who's with Deborah? Nobody remembers his name. Barak, or Barak, yeah. You know, whenever you say a Hebrew name, somebody goes, "That's not how it's pronounced." Just smile and nod. Because no one on earth knows the correct pronunciation of Hebrew names or words. All the scholars, if you've had 30 years of studying the Hebrew language, you're guessing at what the sound was. Because no one has heard ancient Hebrew spoken, and it doesn't have enough clues in the language itself to describe it. So your pronunciation is just as good as anybody else's out there. So if somebody tries to correct you, just smile and nod. Deborah, who else? He's going for the obscure ones. Who else? Samson. Before we go any further, I want you to turn with me, would you do that, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 8. And here we are given a list of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives to each one just as He determines. One more verse before we get where we need to go today. Will you turn with me to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace God gave us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, I want you to understand one thing as you've gone down through those lists. Those lists are both different. There's a lot of teaching today, especially in certain churches, about spiritual gifts, as though there is some utterly set, canonical set of spiritual gifts that you are to click off. But the fact that we have four different lists of spiritual gifts, the two that we've just read, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, as well as Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, and not one of them is identical, or even in many ways are similar, says that spiritual gifts are a lot more fluid than a lot of those teachers out there would want us to believe. And today, we're going to look at a man who lived in a day just very much like the days we are coming to. They were days of confusion. We live in confusing times. There used to be clarity in people's minds about absolute truth. Now, people have been raised for two generations in the false teaching that everything's relative and there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no evil. Everything is just whatever you say it is. That has infested the church as deeply as it has the culture. They were dangerous times. We live in dangerous times. It's dangerous to be a policeman. It's dangerous to walk the streets. It's dangerous to drive the streets. It's dangerous to stay in your house. And in that time, God raised up people to be judges. And today we're going to read about a judge who no one named. All of this happened 3,500 years ago or so, and his name is still not well known. He's in the Bible, and his name is not well known. And you know, you've got to say, his mom and dad had something to do with that. They gave him a name that just doesn't beg to be well known. They named him Ehud. Now, yeah, is that a name that in first grade he got beat up on the playground every day or what? Ehud. But we're going to see today about Ehud. And as we read this story of Ehud, it's not chapters and chapters, trust me. I want you to do so with one thought in mind. We just read a list or two lists of spiritual gifts. What was Ehud's spiritual gift? What was Ehud's spiritual gift? Let us read together the word of God. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This is Judges 3, verse 12. Judges 3, verse 12. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Getting the Amorites and the Amalekites to join him, Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. I want you to think about the children who are here who are well under 18 years old. For your entire lifetimes, you would have been a subject people. You would have been born into captivity, you young people who are here. And you would have lived that way for every hour of your lives. You need to understand this. If our nation does not change the course of its direction, your children may very much live their entire lives under subjugation. And you know what will be different about it? Than almost every subjugation in the history of the world, they won't be subject to some outside people that conquered them. They will be subject to some tyrant that conquered them from within. And we see that playing out today in our politics. And it's not the one that the media screams thinks he's a king. It's the ones that actually think they're a king and act like they're the savior. They're the ones you have to watch out for. The Israelites were subject Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Gera the Benjamite. And the Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Ehud had made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. He presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. And after Ehud had presented the tribute, he sent on their way the men who had carried it. At the idols near Gilgal, he himself turned back and said, "I have a secret message for you, O king." The king said, "Quiet." And all his attendants left him. Ehud then approached while he was sitting alone in the upper room of his summer palace and said, "I have a message from God for you." As the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Even the handle sunk in after the blade, which came out of his back. Ehud did not pull the sword out, but the fat closed around over it. Then Ehud went out to the porch, and he shut the doors to the upper room behind him and locked them. After he was gone, the servants came and found the doors to the upper room locked. They said, "He must be relieving himself in the inner room of the house." They waited to the point of embarrassment. But when he did not open the doors of the room, they took a key and unlocked them. And there they saw their Lord fallen to the floor dead. And while they waited, Ehud got away. He passed by the idols and escaped to Sarah. There, he arrived, and when he arrived there, he blew a trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went down with him from the hills, with him leading them. "Follow me," he ordered, "for the Lord has given Moab, your enemy, into your hands." So they followed him down, and taking possession of the fords of the Jordan that led to Moab, they allowed no one to cross over. And at that time, they struck down about 10,000 Moabites, all vigorous and strong. Not a man escaped. That day, Moab was made subject to Israel, and the land had peace for 80 years. Did you see Ehud's spiritual gift? Did you find it as we were reading there? He was left-handed. What a spiritual gift. It's right there. A left-handed man. Wasn't a mighty man. Wasn't a smart man. Wasn't a charismatic man. He was left-handed. Now, I'm sure if you were at a service in one of those churches that go on and on about spiritual gifts, and people line up and people, "I see that you have the gift of," and you waited in that line for an hour, and they got up to you and someone laid their hands on you and said, "Your spiritual gift is left-handed," you wouldn't go away very happy. We have convinced ourselves that we need a great spiritual leader. We need a Billy Graham. We need someone who can take the nation by storm and bring them back to Christ. That's what Israel thought they needed. And God gave them a guy that the only thing that they could say about him was left-handed. Now I want you to contrast him with Samson. One of two judges, and I assumed when I asked that question earlier, that I would get two answers. That I would get Deborah and that I would get Samson. I want us to contrast Ehud with Samson. Because both of those men were born in days just like today. Just like today, God's people were defeated. And if you don't believe that God's people are defeated in this nation, just look around you with an open eye. Immorality is rife. Godlessness is on the advance. We can't even keep our own children from abandoning the faith. And the only way to grab a crowd is to have some high and mighty program that feeds off the world and entertains everyone around us. And here are two contrasting answers to how to solve that problem. Ehud, the left-hander, and Samson. Now, let's contrast them. Samson's story, and I won't read the whole thing. You heard the story about the Bible salesman, right? He showed up to sell Bibles door to door, and they didn't want him to hire him. And he said, give me a month. Give me a month. They said, but you stutter. How can you sell more? You know, that sales isn't your thing. He goes, give me a month. He came back a month later, and he had sold more Bibles than every other person on their sales staff put together. They said, how do you do it? And he goes, I just knock on the door, and when they answer, I say, would you like to buy this Bible, or should I read all of Genesis to you? I'm not going to read all of Judges 13 to 16. But I want us to contrast these two men, and most of what you know is stuff you know already, at least about Samson. Let's just look at his story. Samson gets four whole chapters all about his birth and his life and what he did, and it's told in great detail. Ehud, we get one little story of a few days of his life is all we get, and it's told in 19 verses. Samson is well known. Why, they make movies in Hollywood about him. Ehud? Here we are in a church that preaches the Bible, and I'll bet you he wasn't rolling off your tongue. What do we know about Samson? He was a mighty man. He killed lions and bears, and if they'd had them there, tigers, oh my! He tore gates off of cities and walked up the hill with them. Ehud, he was left-handed. Woo-hoo! I love what Paul says. He says to the Corinthians, he says, look around you. There's not many of you who were born mighty or noble or high of high birth. You know, Let's be honest about us. Most of us have a lot more in common with Ehud than we do with Samson. Look with me, just real quick. Keep in there, because we're going to be back to Ehud. But just, I said I wouldn't read the whole thing, but I just do want to point out something. If you turn over to Judges 13, Judges 13 tells us about Samuel's birth. Samson's birth. What did I say? Samuel. I thought somebody might say Samuel, because Samuel was one of those weird people. He was a prophet, a priest, and a judge. He was all three. Interesting. And we didn't name Gideon. Gideon would have been another one to name. Notice about Samson's birth, and you can read down through here. Samson gets not one angel visitation, but two. His mother is visited by an angel to proclaim his birth. And when nobody believes her, does this foreshadow somebody? The angel comes and appears a second time, goes, go get your husband and bring him here. And the husband comes. If you look at verse 17, it says, then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true? And he replied, why do you ask my name? It's beyond understanding. You don't know who I am. Take my word for it. Samson had angels visiting his parents at his birth. I mean, talk about important, right? Can you imagine if you were raised in a house where all the time your parents were going, now, you know, we expect a lot out of you because, you know, there were angels that visited us at your birth. What do we know about Ehud? Let's go back to Ehud there back in 3. The Israelites sent him, look at verse 15, the end of verse 15. The Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Nothing about his birth. Now, I have to believe that being sent with tribute was not viewed as a great job. At best, you might deliver the thing and the king go, okay, and send you on your way, and you've taken a long journey carrying a bunch of stuff that everybody hates you because they've now taken away, you've taken away all their property, all their wealth to give to this foreign king. And at worst, the king says, not enough, slit his throat, so the next one brings more. I have to believe that old Ehud was not exactly the most popular person in town. Boy, and then there's Samson. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want you to jump to the end of the story. Samson, mighty man, smashes gates, kills lions, kills bears, kills Philistines. Hoorah. Ehud, left-handed. You got to think that Samson should have been the best of the best of the best, right? Jump to the end of Samson's story. Turn with me over to Judges 16, the very end of the chapter. Judges 16, verse 31. Samson's dead. Blinded, treading with the oxen, brought into the temple, led in as a blind man for laughter, for the laughter of the crowd. And all he can do is kill them by killing himself. And here's the end of his story. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. And they brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel for 20 years. And Israel had never known peace in any of the years that he led them. There's not one word about Samson about any peace that Israel ever had. Israel was just as enslaved the day they buried him as the day he was born. And for 20 years, we've had a bunch of people that are supposedly the head of the church and these great preachers and with their mega cathedrals and mega salaries and jets flying around to serve God. And are we any less enslaved today than we were 20 years ago? I came to this church 27, coming up on 28 years ago. And in those days, there was the rise of the mega church in Gloucester County, and there were two mega churches, or one and three quarters mega churches in Gloucester County at that time, and there's what, four or five now? And boy, I wanted to be one of them. After a while, it hit me that when I'd been here a while, that we started with one and the second one was almost there. And Gloucester County was lost. And that we'd added two or three more since I'd been there, and Gloucester County was a lot more lost. And if I was leading a fifth one or a sixth one or whatever one it was, would that have changed? We don't need another Samson. We don't need another mighty man who can go out and be a big figure and everybody say, what a champion we have. Look what it says about Ehud. Judges chapter 3, verse 30. Judges chapter 3, verse 30. That day, Moab was subject to Israel. There was a definite turning point. There's not one verse in all those four chapters about Samson that it ever says, and the Philistines were subject to Israel. God's enemies were just as triumphant before Samson was born, during Samson's life, and on the day Samson died. They were never set free from the tyranny of bondage to evil. But on that day, little old left-handed Ehud, Moab was subject to Israel. And then it says this, and the land had peace for 80 years. 80 years. Now, do you think Ehud lived 80 more years after this? What do you think he died? 120? 110? No way. Ehud brought the kind of spiritual renewal that Israel had peace long after his death. If God were to do a work in our nation today that for 80 years the Church of Jesus Christ had peace, what? There's a handful of us that might still be alive in 80 years, huh? What would you be in your 90s? 90. In your 80s. Can you imagine the kind of spiritual revival that your children, your great, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and maybe your great-great-grandchildren knew spiritual revival through their lives? 80 years. Is that incredible or what? How many people were born, lived their entire lives, and died knowing nothing but peace because of left-handed Ehud? You see, John 6:63 is absolutely right. What's John 6:63 say? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Samson, with all his gifts, oh, the spiritual gifts that Samson had, all his gifts amounted to nothing. Ehud, with his wonderful spiritual gift, I'm left-handed. Delivered Israel for 80 years. Do you realize if that were to happen, it would be the turn of the century. It would be 2100. When the spiritual revival began to wane. Can you imagine what America would be like with 80 unbroken years of spiritual life? Left-handed Ehud. Here's the thing. We're often intimidated because we're not a Samson. Well, who are you? You just go to a little church. You don't matter. What programs do you have? We're building a new building. We're this, we're that, we're the other thing. Man, we are Samson in spades. We don't need more Samsons. Here's the one thing that I know is true of every single one of us here today. We could be just left-handed. Isn't that true? But here's why we don't want to be Ehud. This is why we don't want to be Ehud. Because even after 3,500 years, Ehud's still not known. See, it's not about us. It's not about us. Ministry president, senior pastor. It's not about us. Ehud is still an unknown. He is in the Bible, and he's still an unknown. Ehud doesn't matter. We don't know what Ehud did for those 80 years. He certainly didn't live all of them, but what did he do? We don't know. And you know, at the end of the day, you look back at an Ehud and you go, wow, God really did something great. I don't know who Ehud was, but man, God really did something in his life. It's not about my ministry. It's not about my gift. It's not about who I am or what I've done. Just an old Ehud. But Ehud changed Israel for 80 years. I want to raise one more issue and I'm done. Look at Judges 3, 27 and 28. Ehud runs out the back door while he's locked the front door and they're waiting for the king to come out of the bathroom. He slips away. And it says, verse 27, when he arrived there, he blew a trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went down with him from the hills, with him leading them. Follow me, he ordered, for the Lord has given Moab, your enemy, into your hands. Notice he doesn't say, God has given Moab, your enemy, into my hands. How many leaders is it about them? I've watched these Christian shows, and they're my ministry and me, and we're taking the gospel, and we're doing this, and I'm waiting for the guy to get up and say, we're not supporting us at all. This is about somebody else over there. Don't hear that very often. Ehud did. He said, God, the Lord has given Moab, your enemy, into your hands. So they followed him down. And I just want to say about the faith of the people of Israel, it is real easy to follow a Samson. You know, if Samson would have said, I just killed 12 lions, 3 bears, and a Philistine. I'm going to go down there. Who wants to follow behind me and watch as I do it? Man, the crowds that will watch while somebody does it, they had no expectation that Ehud was going to do it for them. I'm just a left-handed dude with a sword 1.5 feet long. Oh, sorry, I left that in the king's belly. I don't even have a sword anymore. Stabbity, stab, stab, stabbity, stab, stab. You know the reference. And there's Israel going, in faith, I'll follow an Ehud. What kind of faith did it inspire in Israel that they followed an Ehud? I'm done, except for this. Look at verse 31. Somebody mentioned him, and I knew they were going for the obscure. Look at verse 31. And after Ehud came Samgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. He gets one little verse. We have no idea what he did other than he killed a bunch of Philistines. Did he kill them all at once? Did he kill them one at a time? How did he kill them with the ox goad? Did he walk down to 600 and go, come on, boys, and stand there whacking on them? Or did he sneak out in the middle of the night as they're walking out? There, gotcha. Weave the body alongside the road. We don't know. We know nothing about Shamgar, except he saved Israel. Are you willing to be a Shamgar for people to know nothing about you? To be a footnote? You see, God can use footnotes. It highlights that God has problems with. Let's bow together. Lord, in this day in which we have a lot of people praying for a Samson, a lot of people thinking they're a Samson, a lot of people acting like they're a Samson, and a nation that is just as trapped, just as blind, just as conquered as Israel was for all the days of Samson's life. Today, Lord, I pray for an Ehud. I pray in this church that there would be an Ehud. Somebody so simple that they're willing to just use the fact that they're left-handed. But Lord, we see that when something as crazy as just being left-handed is enough when it's given to you. What a spiritual gift. In Jesus' name.